throughout the United States. We also purchased SanCon, which a lot of people might know from the coal industry from many years ago. And those two companies, we do slip form, jump form, silent inspection, silent repair. We're a general contractor when it comes to design build of silos. With that in mind, we're kind of a lump sum contractor. A few years ago, we delved into silo servicing with the purchase of USA Silo Services, which I'm here to talk to you about today. Total different environments, because you have a lump sum contractor where, you know, your coal company puts out a bid, hey, we give you a price, we put profit on top of it, but the more we can get that job done efficiently for you, the more money we make, but we always still have to give you a good quality product. So that's a good mindset for our people. You know, get it done, do it right, make the customer happy because we wanted to call it back on the second one. One of the things we saw in the silo cleaning industry is the service industry. It's a time and materials kind of deal. And what we noticed with that business is that our competitor's goal is to get that order at any cost from you and then see how long they can sit there on your site. They train their employees to slow down. They train their employees not to really show you a lot of things. They train their employees to say, yeah, well, we've got, you know, another 2 weeks on this thing. Because we had, you know, some employees that would come back and forth. So we always didn't like that because we wanted to do something different. So USA Silo Service, it is a silo cleaning company. I'm going to go through it real quickly, but we have a whole different mindset to save you money in silo cleaning. So USA Silo Service started about 35 years ago, back in 1990. It's the one of the most capable maintenance firms in the United States. We did start cleaning in 1990. In 1992, they started doing air pad service because in a lot of different industries, there's more equipment in the bottom of the silos than there is in the coal industry. Once you get that silo clean, that's the time to go ahead and do that service. We also do dome cleaning. We're one of the only companies in the United States. Domes, especially in the cement industry, are extremely dangerous to clean. It's a very technical job. It's a very dangerous job, and we've got a lot of experience, a lot of good people that can do that. We also do a lot of waterproofing. We started coating with a true 100% rubber product for silos that leak in certain industries. Maybe not so much the coal, but in other industries, if you have wet material in your silo, that can really make a lot of difference. So a lot of people will try to seal their silos and they'll use like a Rhino lighting or a rubber membrane roof or something that sits on top. Same thing that you might see on the top of the building here. We developed a system of a bonded rubber product. It's the only one in the industry that actually bonds to the concrete. It has 500% elasticity. So imagine a rubber band on your roof that's going up and down as it vibrates. Once you seal these things with that, it's very maintenance proof. Started doing that in 2002, did that on fire silos. We still are using those silos today, and they are still leak-proof after those many years. Our best claim to fame is we have not had any on-time job safety incidents since the beginning of our company. We're very proud of our safety record. We do cover the entire United States. We do OSHA and MSHA projects, and of course, we're part of the Marriott Group. We do service a lot of industries besides coal, cement, fly ash, bottom ash, glass, clay, manufacturing industries. There's nothing in this room, or there's lots of things I should say in this room that we have touched. Like if you had a glass today, you probably got a glass. That's probably made by Anchor Hocking or in MRSA or Libby or Owens Corning. We do work with all that stuff. We touch everything around you. But that's just a little bit about who we are. Now let's talk about silos. The first thing that I like to talk about how to keep your silo clean is you have to understand what that material in your silo is doing. The purpose of a silo is to put material in it, store it for a period of time, and then withdraw it out. How it flows through the silo really dictates how we build a silo, and then it dictates what kind of flow patterns you have through the silo and how you get the material out. So the first time I wanted, there's the three main ones are funnel flow and mass flow, which you'll see in the coal industry. And then we also have fluidized and expanded flow. A funnel flow silo is your typical silo that has like a 45 to 60 degree discharge cut. It's typically used for granular type products such as coal, aggregate, limestone, things like that. And how many people had an hourglass as a kid? You ever play with an hourglass? You flipped it upside down and you watch this hole go down the top. That was the flow channel you were seeing. That hourglass is a funnel flow silo. So that's your flow channel that goes to the silo. Now, in that perfect world of an hourglass, that little thing goes right down the middle. However, let's say you loaded the material off to the side, you have a chute that goes in the silo or loading, and it puts it all on one side, it's not uniform in there. Or you have multiple draw-offs, let's say you have a 7-draw-off coal silo, and you don't use all the openings at one time, you'll get what's called asymmetric flow. And that's where that red flowing material starts moving off to the side. And when it does that, it hits the wall, and that's called what we call a rat hole. One of the structural things about a rat hole is when you have a rat hole in the silo and it's hitting the side of the wall and you withdraw it, it actually puts a large suction load and literally will pull the rebar out of the wall of concrete towards the discharge opening in rare conditions. It's a tremendous load. What it also does is it also puts bending on the side of the wall. Because if you imagine, if you've got a suction wall load on that wall over there and you're trying to pull it this way, that wall's going to want to bend in. There's been a lot of coal silos that have failed over the last 30, 40 years because of asymmetric flow. So if you have a 7-discharge coal silo and you're only using 3 of them because 4 of them don't work, that material doesn't come down uniformly and then you get those rat holes. So when you do have that funnel flow coming down, you've got the red material, the green material kind of comes in on top of it, on the side, as it goes down. If you never empty it, then you try to keep it full all the time. The material around the top of the cone and the bottom of the bin starts to compact, and it gets very compacted, and it can lead to spontaneous combustion. So if you have a funnel flow silo, there's some things that you have to do, which we'll talk about in some of our future slides. Converse to that is what we call a mass flow silo. Now this is typically a cone that's going to be a lot bigger in a lot larger diameter, and it's going to be a big angle. It's going to be like a 72 degree angle. It's going to have a stainless steel liner with a 2B finish. It's going to be really slick. You know, you're going to be able to just take your hand down for that thing and go real quick, and it's going to be smooth. When you have a silo like this, when you withdraw it, you don't have that flow channel in the middle. The whole silo becomes the flow channel. So now this material comes down uniformly. So you don't have that green static material that's on the side, which means you are moving your material. So if you don't have to worry about it sitting there for a long time and worry about spontaneous combustion. You also don't have to worry about compaction as much, because if the green material is left there for a long period of time, it compacts, it gets really hard, it won't come back out. So this is what you typically see in a lot of coal silos. Then in certain industries, you have fluidized silo, which is one where you basically a flat floor, you put a bunch of aeration pads in the bottom, you pump a bunch of air, and it's for like powder and fluids, which you guys really don't get into. I talked about asymmetric flow. If you have that funnel flow silo, or if you have a silo that has got multiple discharges, again, pay attention to that silo. One of the things I try to do is I like you guys to go in and look at the top of the silo, open it up, open the hatches. When you're withdrawing material, look and see, do I have that nice flow channel or do I have rat holes? When you have rat holes, that's when you need to get a professional involved. One of the things that material can do is build up on side of your walls when you have these rat holes. So when you have rat holing, that means you've got compacted material that's not flowing, so that lowers your storage capacity of your silo. It also leads to, once it starts rat holing, it actually starts building upon itself and it starts to compact faster, we have found. It causes your material flow issues. So if you were trying to do mass flow and now you've got an asymmetric flow that's not working, it's going to lead to a lot of issues. But it will lead to silo damage. A silo is a nice round structure. And when you pull loads out of it, it acts as a circle and the loads are nice and distributed. When you have a rat hole up to the side, and again, you're pulling that suction load, now that wall starts to bend. As that rat hole may move around the silo over continued use, that wall starts bending. And if you've looked at any coal mines, you see there are silos that are built back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and they got all these bands wrapped around them, kind of like belts, just like my belt. You see those all over. What we discovered after about 1982 was that asymmetric flow is really doing a lot of damage to these walls. They're bending it, making it break. So that's why you see a lot of those bands. The key is make sure you look in the top of your silo that it's not rattling. Now, when you do look in the top of the silo, or you do have a silo that's not flowing, there are different types of blockages. And as a silo cleaning contractor, we want to know that so that when we come to the project, you know, we've got a good handle on what we've got to do to get it fixed. You can have bridging, which is extremely dangerous. As you look at that chart, imagine what would happen if that material would all fall at one time. Anybody remember Morgantown Energy? Okay, that's what happened there. That material fell all at one time. The silo was, cone was destroyed out the bottom of the silo. Unfortunately, there was people underneath of it. They were fatalities. Then you have caking, which is just buildup of material on the side of the wall. You have doming, which is very similar to bridging, but it occurs at the top of the cone. This was the issue in Miami, Florida at the collapse back 7 years ago. That included a fatality. A gentleman went up on top of a silo after it had been domed to check the level because they thought they'd run out of material. They couldn't load material into their trucks. So the operator says, I've got, you know, 8,000 tons of cement above my head. Sends Mr. Mendez up on top of the roof. He opens up the roof, drops something down in on a rope. That whole dome collapsed. That sucked the roof of the silo down into the silo. Mr. Mendez was on top of the roof and he was engulfed quite quickly. So doming can be very dangerous. Funneling is where you have that static material that's built up in the green that I showed before on the sides. Then you have plugging, which is just where the whole thing is solid material. We do have a project going on right now. Somebody had a lime silo, they took out a service, didn't bother to empty it. We're literally having to drill down and start a flow channel and then running our machines down in there. Then you have the rat holding we talked about here in this example. The rat hole is right in the center, it can be off to the side. And then just walls scale up or build up. And then there's some pictures of what some of that stuff looks like below. Silo cleaning 101. Silo material needs to keep flowing through that silo. So the more often that you open it and you run it, the less compaction you're going to get and the more flow you're going to get through it. If you have that buildup, it causes catastrophic problems. We want you to avoid it. And if you look at the pictures below, you'll see when I talk about asymmetric bending of the wall, you'll see some cracks in the wall, both on the inside and the outside, of what that asymmetric flow can do to your silo. Now, how do I keep my silo clean so you don't have to have us to come in here? Empty your silo often to avoid material compaction, expansion, and hydration. So get that silo, get it completely empty, and then start filling it back up. The more you do that, the more that material flows, the less compaction you're going to get. Keep the material dry in the silo. Keep your roof sealed. Keep your equipment sealed so that you don't get water on top of the silo. Observe the material as it goes through the silo and look for flow issues. And when you have a flow issue, get it addressed very quickly so that it doesn't become a bigger issue. Things such as rat holes, asymmetric flow, and clumps, as we've talked about, can be very devastating. When you do have that, have your silo cleaned to remove the clumps of material. If you call us early, we can come in, and it's a very simple job. If you wait and wait and wait, and that material continues to compact, 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 we're going to be there longer. I'm going to skip cement silos and green silos and coal. I'm going to go right to coal silos for you. First of all, wet, moist, and stagnant coal left in a silo can spontaneously combust. So if you've got a silo and you're not going to use it for a while, don't leave coal in it. Get it empty. Coal silos should be cleaned regularly to avoid that compaction, that spontaneous combustion. We do with our Merida silos get called in on a lot of emergency calls, when there's been a failure, when there's been a fire, or something like that, we get involved in a lot of those things. Care should be taken to minimize clay and dirt in your silo, especially in the raw silos. When you have a lot of clay and stuff like that, it ends up allowing that material to kick up. And then keep your feeders operating. If you've got a 7 withdrawal coal silo, and you're only using number 4 and 5, you're starting asymmetric flow. So it's very important that those things were designed to have all the feeders working at one time and for them to work at one time. Let's skip over fly ash, we do domes, skip over that. Now, let's say you've decided, okay, I got to get somebody in to clean. How can I save money? Because it's a non-value-added cost that you're going to have to incur. There's 3 ways United States people clean silos. There is the whip method, which is where you have what I like to equate to as a weed eater. You stick it down in the silo, it's a hydraulic head, it spins around, it's got chains or things on the end. You know, if you had a 40-acre field, where was the guy with the lawn? Last speaker, he had that great lawn. Would you want to mow it with, you know, a weed eater, or would you rather have it mowed with a brush hog? If you've got that 40-acre field, you want a brush hog. The weed eater is not going to get you very fast material flow. When it comes to, let's say I got to move 700 tons of material, I can move so many tons per hour. That's going to move pounds per hour. So it's a very slow process. You're going to pay about the same per hour for somebody weeding. Some of these companies will try to sell you this machine. I have seen several of my customers buy these machines, and they spend anywhere from $60,000 to $120,000. They end up becoming a tripping hazard for my crews. They get them, they put them on top of the silos, they figure out in 2 weeks that this is a waste of time, they leave them laid, we trip over them as we go. Don't waste your money buying them. The second way is pneumatic cleaning, which is a machine or competitors that we have out there that lower a head in that runs off compressed air. That's good. Our system is designed to be a little bit more robust. Our system uses 55% more power to operate. And when you're cleaning a silo, say you got 700 tons of material, if I can move 20 tons an hour versus 10 tons an hour, I'm going to get in and out quicker. The more powerful the machine, the more material I can move quicker, the quicker I can get out of there. And you're going to pay us the same per day as you are anybody else. So if you're going to go into a cleaning job, you want to look for the Boss. That's the biggest machine that's out there. That's the one that's more powerful. It does run off compressed air, and it will move more material per hour for you. Now, if you are talking about cleaning a silo, it's very important what we have found, and again, this comes back from our contracting side, is what's included in the price. With us, we're used to lump sum, we give you a price, we get done, we get out. In our service, we've tried to take that same approach. We give you a price per hour, it's got everything in it. I'm not going to send you a secondary bill of, oh, I didn't put consumables in, oh, I didn't put hotel room in for my guys or whatever. Make sure you understand when you read the proposals what's included and what's not included, because again, they train their people in order to see how much longer they can stay in the job and how much more they can get out of it. Both of our main competitors do not include hotels and consumables, so you get a price from them, let's say it's, pick a number, $50,000, and my price is $60,000. Yeah, really they're $70,000 or $80,000, they just didn't include all the numbers with it. Also, one of the tools that they'll use is estimating. Let's face it, when it comes to cleaning a silo, it's an art, it's not a science. How hard is that material in your silo? That gives, you know, that tells us how long it's going to take. Is it hammer hard? Is it pickaxe hard? Is it jackhammer hard? And there's all variations. One of the tools they'll use, they'll say, yeah, we think it's shovel hard, it'll move out, we can get, you know, we can be there in 3 days. In actuality, they might be there 2 or 3 weeks. Watch for that trick, they do that a lot. If you end up wanting to clean the complete silo out of the bottom and you've got coal in the bottom of like a flat 7-draw silo, we will also do a vacuum truck service where we'll come in, run the machine as much as we can, and then we'll go in and hand clean with vacuum trucks. If you do have leaks, I talked briefly about our waterproof coating. We have this 100% rubber bonded coating. So if you have a concrete silo roof that's leaking, or equipment like a bag house or pipes that are leaking on it, we'll go clean the whole surface. We'll put two coats of this 500% elasticity material on it. It stretches, it's bonded right to the concrete so that when you drop a valve or a tool on top of the roof, you don't puncture a roof's membrane surface that goes on it, and then water gets underneath of that. That product is slick. If you have steel bolted silos and they're leaking, I don't think there's too many coal silos, but there is some that are out there in some pulverized coal applications. One of the things about bolted steel silos is they leak. Bolted guys will tell you that. They don't have a solution. You call them and say, hey, my bolted silo is leaking. They say, oh, sorry. We took our rubber product and changed it to use it on that particular product. We'll go through on each of the joints. We'll clean the joints, get all the corrosion, all the paint off. We'll coat two coats with that material on there, and then we put a final coat. We have fly ash silos, and fly ash leaks worse than water. Water is easier to contain than fly ash that are over 27 years old and they're still leaking. Together with Meredith's silos, one of the things that we like to do is be your silo resource. We have a webpage, AskMrSilo.com. You know, we're kind of passionate about this. We talk about it a little bit. Unfortunately, we're the guy that gets called when there's a catastrophic failure. We've been involved in several. It's not fun when you see what, you know, loss of life is like, family damage, operational. Like if you look at the top silo, the top picture there, that was a company in Kentucky that had a failure in a silo because they didn't maintain the cone in the silo. The cone fell, kind of like a bell clapper, and a bell knocked out the whole wall. 400 people were employed at that mine. Shut the entire mine down. It never recovered. That mine never opened back up after that. My point is, silos, we have another webinar that's available for silo inspection. When you're out on your silos and you see them, look up. Take a look. Look for cracks. Look for, you know, distress in the wall, things like that. When you see that, call a professional. Don't call just a silo engineer because they're going to come out and sell you a whole bunch of services. Call a contractor-based inspection company that will come out together with the engineer, do an inspection on the silos. I always try to hit that on the end because I want you to look at your silos when you walk up. If you have any questions, you can ask them now. Here's my contact information, our web pages, usasilos.com. We have meritasilos.com. More information you're ever going to want to know on silos are there. And then we have askmrsilo.com, which is another page. It's got a lot of frequently asked questions. My phone number and my email are there. Thanks, Dennis. So any questions?
Great talk. How do you interpret the stability of a foundation of a silo in terms of its eventual performance? If the foundation is off, will that create rat holing or other performance issues? And
yeah,
can you address those in your service?
Yeah, so typically what you'll see is differential settlement where the foundation starts to lean or gets a crack in it. My favorite story, it's kind of like the lawn story. We did the silo that holds the rocket fuel for the Minuteman rockets. That's kind of important stuff, right? You don't want that stuff falling and rocket fuel blowing up. So they called us and said, hey, your silo's leaning. Okay, so we go over. It's in Oakland, Maryland, not too far from here. We go over and we look at it, and the whole foundation is starting to settle like this, which makes the silo go like that. It looks like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, you know, except it's got rocket fuel in it. So yes, silo foundations are very important. When it starts to move, you can usually see it in the walls. You can also see it where the roofs connect to the wall. If you have multiple silos, you can start looking around the roof to see, okay, I had a 6-inch overhang all the way around the silo. Now I got 2 on this side and I got 8 on this side, or whatever the number may be. That can tell you if you've got a foundation problem. Those foundation problems get transmitted all the way through the silo and can be very detrimental. Does that answer your question? Okay. Anybody else?
Thank you, Dennis.
All right. Thank you.
All right, this concludes this afternoon session, and we're in 5 minutes we're going to present awards to the top longwall operators.